الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب في حسن الصوت بالقرآن، the chapter on beautifying the voice when reciting the Quran, the chapter on beautifying the voice when reciting the Quran, meaning that which is mentioned about the encouragement of learning the rules of recitation and the proper methodology to recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner that it was revealed. Ahkam al-tilawa wa ahkam tajweel al-Qur'an, the rulings of recitation, the rulings of reciting the noble book of Allah azza wa jal. And that is without any negligence and likewise without going to extremes. And this is the discussion now. The author, he closes his work with this chapter about the encouragement to beautify one's voice and what that means while reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that which is in contradiction to that and that which is discouraged from the affairs related to reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he mentioned with his chain, عن فضالة ابن عبيد أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لله أشد أذنا إلى رجل الحسن الصوت بالقرآن من صاحب القينة إلى القينة قال الأوزاعي يعني أذنا استماعا. He mentioned a narration from Fadal ibn Ubayd رضي الله عنه, who said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, Allah listens more attentively to a man with a beautiful voice reciting the Quran than the owner of a singing maiden listens to her. He mentioned that Al-Awza'i, he interpreted the meaning of adhanan, adhanan to mean istima'an, yani meaning that he listens. Meaning that he listens. There's another narration that is similar, which is collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that would suffice for this narration here. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَأَذِنَ اللَّهُ لِشَيْءٍ مَأَذِنَ لِلنَّبِي أَن يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ, that Allah, he did not listen to something in the manner that he listened to a prophet whenever he beautifies his voice reciting the Qur'an. In one wording, likewise, مَأَذِنَ لِنَبِيٍ حَسَّنَ السَّوْتِ بِالْقُرْآنِ يَجْهَرُ بِهِ, that he didn't listen the way he listens to a prophet with a beautiful voice reciting the Qur'an, reciting it loudly and audibly. This is the authentic narration that has been mentioned regards to that which the author is referring to, rahimahullah ta'ala. The author, he says, عن البراءه ابن عازب عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انه قال زينوا القران باصواتكم. And he mentioned a narration from البراءه ابن عازب رضي الله عنه that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, beautify the Quran with your voices. Beautify the Quran with your voices. Again, what is intended here is by reciting it in the manner that it was revealed, without going to extremes, without going to extremes, following the rules of at-tajweed and the rulings with regards to the recitation, without going to extremes and without being negligent. And likewise, if on top of that a person is gifted with a pleasant voice and he abides by the mode of recitation and the manner prescribed, then this is light upon light. But the beautiful recitation is the one that is in accordance with the regulations and the principles and foundations that have been transmitted to us from the scholars of recitation on the mode and manner of reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla as it was taught to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that the book of Allah, it is the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Allah, he spoke it to Jibreel alayhi salam, and Allah and Jibreel, he heard it from Allah Azza wa Jalla directly and descended upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and recited it to him and recited it to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who heard it directly from Jibreel, who heard it directly from the Lord of the world subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the recitation and the mode of reciting the book of Allah likewise was transmitted, as well as the understanding and the creed and the law and legislation and the proper application. All of this was transmitted from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the noble companions and those after them radiyallahu anhum until this day. So beautifying the voice while reciting the Quran means to learn the rules of tajweed and to implement them to the best of one's ability without going to extremes. He mentioned another chain of narration. He says, وَقَالَ صَالِحُ بْنُ أَحْمَدِ بْنِ حَنْبَلَ عَنْ أَبِيهِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ رَحِمَهُمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ قُلْتُ لَهُ قَوْلُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ زَيِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِأَصْوَاتِكُمْ مَا مَعْنَاهُ قَالَ أَتَزَيِّنُوا أَنْ تُحَسِّنَهُ. He mentioned a chain of narration to Salih ibn al-Imam Ahmad رحمهم الله, who asked his father, saying to him, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautify the Quran with your voices. What does that mean? What does that mean? And al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he replied, beautifying it means to recite it properly and good. Means to recite it properly and good. And to hasinahu, and to hasina sawtaka bittilawa, that you recite it properly and good, and you beautify your voice in the recitation. Again, this means by applying those principles and abiding by the mode of recitation to the best of one's ability. And again, if a person on top of that, he has a beautiful and pleasant voice, then this is light upon light. This is light upon light. But we're not misunderstand these affairs. It does not mean to sing the Quran or to use melodies and tones and the likes like this, or to lengthen the words or letters in a manner that's not prescribed. All of this is blameworthy, and the author, inshallah, is going to clarify some details with regards to this. So to beautify the voice means to beautify one's voice while reciting the Quran, means to learn the mode of recitation, to learn the rules of at-tajweed, to learn the ahkam of at-tilawah that have been transmitted to us from the scholars of recitation, from the scholars of al-qira'ah. From the scholars of al-qira'ah. The author, he mentions here, قال محمد ابن الحسين ينبغي لمن رزقه الله حسن الصوت بالقرآن أن يعلم أن الله قد خصه بخير عظيم أن يعلم أن الله قد خصه بخير عظيم فليعرف قدر ما خصه الله به وليقرأ لله لا للمخلوقين وليقرأ لله لا للمخلوقين. Muhammad ibn al-Husayn rahimahullah, he said, whoever Allah has blessed with a beautiful voice in reciting the Quran should know that Allah has singled him out with a great gift, with a tremendous blessing and gift. Let him recognize the value of what Allah has granted him and bestowed upon him, and let him recite for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the people. Let him recite for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the people. So a believer, no doubt, he will reflect and ponder, and he will study the issues related to the blessings of Allah. He will study the knowledge of blessings. As we have seen, this is from the ways of the people of Quran, that they have great concern with the blessings and favors of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they know how to understand the favors and blessings and the great rights that are upon them with regards to that. And from the head of all blessings and the greatest of all favors is that of knowledge, knowledge of the Book of Allah, knowledge of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and knowledge of the way of the Sahaba and the scholars of Hadith after them, radiyallahu anhum, until this day. This is from the greatest favor and blessing. So one who has knowledge of the Book of Allah, he will realize that that's a great favor that Allah has specified him with. Any knowledge of the guidance, he's a Muslim, alhamdulillah. And then on top of that, if he's a Muslim who has knowledge of the Book of Allah and the mode of recitation, likewise the proper understanding, practice, and application of the Book of Allah, one will show great thanks and great appreciation for this favor. And then he's mentioning here, if on top of that, Allah has also favored him with a pleasant voice and is able to recite the Book of Allah in a noble and good manner and in a beautiful and beneficial way, then he should recognize this affair. Then he should recognize this affair that it's a favor from Allah. And likewise, he should also realize that it's a trust from Allah Azza wa Jal. And he mentions the great advice, rahimahullah, وَلِيَقْرَأْ لِلَّهِ لَا لِلْمَخْلُقِينَ, that he must recite for the sake of Allah and not for the sake of the people. He says, وَلِيَحْذَرْ مِنَ الْمَيْلِ إِلَى أَنْ يُسْتَمَعَ مِنْهُ لِيَحْظَى بِهِ عِنْدَ السَّامِعِينَ رَغْبَةً فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْمَيْلِ إِلَى حُسْنِ الثَّنَاءِ وَالْجَاهِ عِنْدَ أبناء الدنيا والصلاة للملوك دون الصلاة لعوام الناس. He should beware of inclining towards being listened to in order to win the favor of the audience, seeking worldly gain, admiration, and status among the worldly people. He should also avoid preferring to lead prayer for the elite, and for the kings and for the wealthy, over leading for the common folk. And he should be sincere with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge that he carries, and benefit the people to the best of his ability, regardless of their status, regardless of their status in society, whether they're wealthy or whether they're poor. And no doubt we have seen previously from the manners of the people of knowledge and the people of Quran is that they recognize the people in their different categories and ranks, and they deal with each one accordingly, but they do that for the sake of Allah. So they are sincere in their dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now in closing, he's reminding us, and this is a reminder for the people of knowledge, for the students of knowledge, and for those who study the book of Allah and recite it specifically, that they must be conscious from the whispers of the devil and from the temptations of the heart to lean towards the worldly life and to use this great knowledge that they were favored with to get a portion of the dunya and turn away from the hereafter. So reciting the book of Allah in a beautiful and good manner for the people to hear can either be a great means for a person to obtain a lofty rank and high status with Allah Azza wa Jal, or for him to fall to the lowest of lows, to the lowest of lows. So reciting the Quran in a beautiful voice to the best of one's ability, hoping the people will hear in order for them to benefit, in order for them to benefit so that they can hear the Quran recited in a beautiful manner and the way that it was revealed, with hopes that it will affect their heart. They will humble themselves and they will take admonition to recite in this manner with this intention is from the aspects of calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. هذا باب من أبواب الدعوة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. So from the means of calling to Allah, for those who are proficient in reciting the Quran, that they will recite in the to the best of their ability. That they will recite to the best of their ability, and they will recite sincerely for the sake of Allah, hoping that the people will hear and listen to the recitation and benefit, and they will be affected by what they have heard, and they will take admonition, and they will take admonition. So this is a beautiful intention and a beautiful action of worship to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jalla by reciting the book of Allah, hoping that others will benefit. We have seen in these affairs, in the religion, especially in seeking knowledge and calling, there's a fine line between that which is proper and sound and that which is beneficial and will be a means to draw near to Allah, and that which is lowly and despicable, and that will be a means to earn the anger of Allah. And it lies in that intention. Another, he may recite to the best of his ability in the most beautiful manner, but he's hoping that the people will praise him and like him. He's hoping that the people will hold him in a high position in their hearts and in their hearts, and he will give them, and they will give him from their dunya and from their worldly life. He's reciting with these ulterior motives. Wal-iyadhu billah, he's not sincere. So this is a foul and lowly way. This is what he's warning us from. So it has been collected by Al-Diya al-Maqdisi in his book Al-Mukhtara, which is from the collections of hadith, which were collected specifically with regards to narrations that are all authentic. Meaning that this narration here is authentic. And likewise, it's been collected by Ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf from the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu, anna Abu Musa kana yaqra'u dhata laylatin, that Abu Musa radiallahu anhu was reciting one night. And he is in prayer reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he's unaware that anyone is listening. He's unaware that anyone is listening. فَمَشَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَسْمَعُ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he walked by and he heard the recitation of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ قِيلَ لَهُ. Whenever the morning came, it was mentioned to Abu Musa that, you know, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was listening to your recitation last night. And it's known that Abu Musa radiallahu anhu, he had a beautiful voice. And he was from the most proficient reciters of the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard his recitation and he stopped and he listened attentively. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Musa, he said, لو علمت لحبرت لك تحبيرا ولشوقت لك تشويقا. He said, had I known you were listening, I would have beautified it in an even more beautiful manner. And I would have caused you to desire and yearn more for the recitation. I would have beautified my voice in an even more beautiful manner. And I would have encouraged you and drawn you to yearn to hear more from the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Meaning for the sake of Allah. So this is a beautiful intention. That if a person, he knows that others are listening, that he'll recite it to the best of his ability for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah, hoping that they will benefit. So to recite in a beautiful manner with this beautiful intention is beautiful. And likewise, to speak and to give lectures and to direct and to advise the people in the most eloquent and clear manner. Likewise, that one is able, this is also beautiful, to do that with hopes that they will benefit, with hopes that the speech will affect them, that the khutbah will affect them, that the dars, or the lesson, or the advice, the admonition, the direction will affect them and they will benefit. To say that in a clear manner, that the people understand, or even in the most fluid and beautiful manner, with this intention, with hopes to benefit, this is a good way. And from the aspects of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because whenever the speech is beautiful, and whenever it's good, and whenever it's fluent, and whenever it's eloquent, it goes to the heart, especially when it comes from the heart. And the people of Nara, as they mentioned, that which comes from the heart, it goes in the heart. What comes from the heart, it goes in the heart, especially whenever the proper words are used in the proper time, and with eloquence, and with beautiful speech, with beautiful speech. Musa alayhi salam, from his supplication, Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli Amri wahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Yani meaning that he supplicated that Allah would untie the knot in his tongue, alayhi salatu wassalam, so that the people will understand what he's saying. So that the people will understand what he's saying. So he's hoping that they would understand, because he's hoping that they will benefit. Because he's hoping that they will benefit. So this is a beautiful intention in a good way. This is a beautiful intention and a good way. But as the author is mentioning here, a person of the Quran, a person of knowledge, a student of knowledge, a caller to Allah, they have to be very diligent with their own soul and with their own self, and be truthful with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and beg for sincerity. And fight their self from that desire that riles up, and from that inclination that leads, that leans towards wanting to be praised, or wanting to be heard, or wanting to have status, or wanting to have rank. From the greatest attributes of the people of Quran is that they're sincere and truthful with Allah in public and in private, and that they seek high status and rank with Allah, not with the people. And all of this has proceeded, alhamdulillah. So the author, he says, فَمَنْ مَالَتْ نَفْسُهُ إِلَى مَا نَهَيْتُهُ عَنْهُ خِفْتُهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ حُسْنُ صَوْتِهِ فِتْنَةً عَلَيْهِ. Whoever finds his soul inclined toward what I have warned against, I fear that his beautiful voice may be a trial for him. I fear that his beautiful voice may be a trial for him. Meaning for him to be tried. Be tried by his beautiful voice, because he will recite it in a beautiful manner, and the people, they will praise him, and he will fall for that. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. The people will praise him, and the people will like him, and the people will mention things about him, and he will believe that about himself, and then he will fall into arrogance or pride, and he will fall into self amazement, and then he will wind up belittling the people, looking down upon them, and using them, and using his knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah to do that. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So he's afraid for that person. So a person, he has to fight his soul. Student of knowledge, he has to fight his soul. A reciter of the Quran, he has to fight his soul. A person of knowledge has to fight his soul. A Muslim in general has to fight his soul. مُجَاهَدَةَ النَّفْسِ عَلَى إِخْلَاصِ الْعَمَلِ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَالصِّدْقُ مَعَ اللَّهِ فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَنِ. A person, he must strive against his own soul to be sincere in all of his deeds for the sake of Allah, to be truthful with Allah Azza wa Jalla in his shahada. To be truthful with Allah Azza wa Jalla in his shahada. In his testimony that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. He must be truthful with Allah in that testimony, and hoping for the reward from Allah alone, and working for his sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he says, وَإِنَّمَا يَنْفَعُهُ حُسْنُ صَوْتِهِ إِذَا خَشِيَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ وَكَانَ مُرَادُهُ أَنْ يُسْتَمَعَ مِنْهُ الْقُرْآنَ لِيَنْتَبِهَ أَهْلُ الْغَفْلَةِ عَنْ غَفْلَتِهِمْ فَيَرَغَبُوا فِيمَا رَغَبَهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَيَنْتَهُوا عَمَّا نَهَاهُمْ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هَذِهِ صِفَتُهُ انْتَفَعَ بِحُسْنِ صَوْتِهِ وَانْتَفَعَ بِهِ النَّاسُ. A beautiful voice is only beneficial when the reciter fears Allah in both private and public, and his intention is for the people to hear the Quran from him, so that the heedless may awaken from their negligence, become encouraged towards what Allah has urged them to do, and refrain from what he has forbidden. Whoever fits this description will benefit from his beautiful voice, and others will benefit from it as well. The author, he mentions a chain of narration. An Jabir radiyallahu anhu, annahu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna ahsana nasi sawtan bil Qur'ani alladhi idha sami'tahu yaqra'u hasibtahu yakhsha Allah. Hasibtahu yakhsha Allah. From the narration of Jabir radiyallahu anhu, he mentioned that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed the best among the people in voice when reciting the Quran is the one whom you think he fears Allah whenever you hear him recite. And whenever you hear him recite, you feel that he is someone who fears Allah Azza wa Jal. When Zuhri, أنه قال بلغنا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أحسن الناس صوتا بالقرآن من إذا سمعته يقرأ رأيت أنه يخشى الله. And it's been narrated from Az-Zuhri, he said that it has reached us from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, the best among the people in voice when reciting the Qur'an is the one whom when you hear him recite, you feel as if he fears Allah. You feel as if he fears Allah. This type of narration here is called Mursal, Ahsant. It's called Mursal. Why? Because it's narrated from At-Tabi. Zuhri is from the Tabi'in. He's ascribing it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This type of narration, whenever a Tabi'i ascribes a narration to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's marfu' at-Tabi'i. This is called Hadith al-Mursal. And it's from the narrations that are considered weak, that are considered weak. But the weakness is, it's light, it's a light weakness, meaning it could be strengthened by other narrations and other chains. Now, barakallahu fikum. He mentions, قال محمد ابن الحسين وأقرأه القراءة بالألحان والأصوات المعمورة المطربة فإنه مكروهة عند كثير من العلماء مثل زيد بن هارون والأسمعي وأحمد بن حنبل وأبي عبيد قاسم بن سلام والسفيان بن عيينة وغير واحد من العلماء ويأمرون القارئ إذا قرأ أن يتحزن ويتباكى ويخشى بقلبه. محمد ابن الحسين, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى, I dislike the recitation done with musical tones and melodious compositions, يعني in compositions and with melodies. With melodies that resemble singing, for such recitation is disliked by many scholars. Disliked in the early days means it's forbidden. Disliked in the early days many times. It means it's forbidden. They disliked that, meaning they saw that it was forbidden. Like, including Yazid ibn Harun and Al-Asma'i and Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Abu Ubaid, Al-Qasim ibn Salam, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, and others. They used to command the reciter to be sorrowful. That means to be humble, and weep and cry, and humble himself with his heart during the recitation. This point here has a very beneficial commentary in the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah. The explanation is known as the Tibyan. At-Tibyan fi sharhi akhlaq hamalati al-Quran. We read two brief commentaries from this portion here with regards to al-aswat al-ma'mula al-mutriba wa tilawat al-Qur'an bil alhan, reciting the Qur'an in these sounds with melodies that are based on musical tones and rules that are found in music, so on and so forth, known as maqamat and the likes. So we read the benefit that he mentioned, Hafidhullah. He says, قَوْلُهُ الْمَعْمُولَ, any of the sounds that are ma'mula. He says, أي التي هي ليست مما يخرج بالطبيعة والسجية بل صاحبها يتعمد عملها عن تكلف ومراعاة لضوابطها He said in his statement, ma'mula, sounds that are ma'mula. What does that mean? Refers to recitation that is not natural or spontaneous. And he's not reciting normally. He's not just following the rules and his normal tone that he has been given, the normal voice that he's been blessed with. Rather he's manufactured and affected, performed with deliberate effort and adherence to certain vocal rules and measures. And so now he's working hard to apply particular rules in music or measures in vocals and the likes like this in order to recite the Book of Allah. So we know that Imam Al-Juri, he died in 360. We know that one of the last ones he mentioned from those who disliked this type of recitation was Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He died in the year 198. This is an old affair. Disliking for one to recite the Quran in this manner, this is not something new. And the fact that people recite it in that manner is not something new. Rather, there are narrations back to the Salaf, back to Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, and those before him. Where they disliked the likes of this type of recitation. He says, وَقَوْلُهُ الْمُطْرِبَةِ التي تعتمد على الألحان والأوزان ويقصد بها مجرد الطرب. The statement, he dislikes the recitation that is مطربة. He said this refers to a recitation that relies on melodies and musical rhythms with the aim merely to entertain the delight of the listeners, to move the people with the voice, not with the words of Allah. To move the people with the voice, not with the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he says, وَهِيَ الْقِرَاءَةُ, and he, referring to these different types of blameworthy recitations, he says now, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ, he mentions here the praiseworthy recitation. He says, وَهِيَ الْقِرَاءَةُ أَلَتِي تَقَدَّمَ بَيَانُهَا فِي الْبَابِ السَّابِقِ وَلَتِي تُبْنَى عَلَى خُشُوعِ وَخَشْيَةِ الْقَلْبِ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَتَفَكُّرِ وَتَدَابُرِ فِي الْمَعَانِ وَالدِّلَالَاتِ حال القراءة بخلاف من يراعي أثناء قراءته تحسين الصوت والأوزان والتطريب والأوزان والتطريب بها فهذا ذمه السلف. This is in contrast to the type of recitation praised in the previous section, one that is based upon humility, fear of Allah in the heart, and contemplation and reflection on the meanings and implications during the recitation. This is the proper way, the praiseworthy way. This has preceded likewise. This differs from the one who focuses during his recitation on enhancing his voice, adjusting musical rhythms and steering emotional effects. This type of recitation was criticized by the Salaf. This type of recitation was criticized by the Salaf. He says, وَيَدْخُلُ فِي مَا سَبَقَ مَسْتَجَدَّ فِي الْأَزْمِنَةِ الْمُتَأَخِرَةِ مِمَّا يُسَمَّى بِعِلْمِ الْمَقَامَاتِ وَهَذَا عِلْمٌ مُسْتَحْدَثِ لا وجود له عند الصحابة والتابعين لهم بإحسان على أن عصر الصحابة والتابعين قد ضم أحسن القراء أداء في تلاوة القرآن ولم يكن هذا العلم قد وجد عندهم. Including now, this morning of reciting and with melodies and musical tones and the likes like this, he said included in this is what has recently emerged in later times, known as ilm al-maqamat, the science of musical scales and melodies. The science of musical scales and melodies. This is something new that is similar to what has preceded, that which the Salaf they had blamed and censored, but it's even more severe. They actually really learned scales and musical notes and tones that are established in music and in rhythm, and they apply that and those tones and that knowledge to the recitation of the Quran. And it's called ilm al-maqamat. And they have different ones. They have the maqam kada, the maqam kada. They have this maqam here, it sounds like triumph. This maqam here, it sounds like sadness. This maqam here, it sounds like this. This maqam here, it sounds like that. One person, he can recite one verse, and this maqam or that maqam or that maqam. And he does that by knowing how to use these musical tones and rhythms that are specific to that level. And he will use that with his voice while reciting the Quran. While reciting to the Quran. So this is what he's referring to. Somebody may not know this knowledge, and he might recite the Quran normally, and actually be on one of these scales, or one of these maqam, unintentionally. He's reciting it normally, and he finds himself saddened, and he's reciting in that manner, and may sound like he's on this maqam or that maqam, but he's not doing it intentionally. He's not doing it. These people here, they have learned that to do your voice like this, and raise it like this, and lower it like this, in this particular level, in this particular sound, with this particular note, with this particular rhythm, and then to change it to another one that also has a specific way. And they're known, 7-8 of them like this, that are known. When you speak or you move your voice like this, this is this way. You do it like this, this is this way. This is called ilm al-maqamat. Ilm al-maqamat. So to learn that knowledge and to reapply that knowledge in the recitation of the Quran, this is blameworthy. This is blameworthy. And a lot of people, they're very famous for that. They really like it. They really like it. And guidance is from Allah Azza wa Jal. Included in this warning is what has recently emerged in later times. This is from the statement of Sheikh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Badr, Hafidhullah Azza wa Jal. حَفِظَهُمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Included in this warning is what has recently emerged in later times, known as ilm al-maqamat, the science of musical scales and melodies. Even the title of the science is found. The science of musical scales and melodies. The science of musical scales and melodies. This is an invented discipline, an innovated discipline, with no trace of it in the time of the companions or the righteous predecessors. I mean, they didn't know about this knowledge. They didn't know about this knowledge, radiallahu anhum. Despite that error containing the best reciters in terms of performance and precision. He said, "But in the ilm al-maqamat nashaha fi awsat al-fanni wal-musiqa, fi awsat al-fanni wal-musiqa, wa yaj'aluna hadhihi al-maqamat takhtalifu bi ikhtilafi awzan al-naghamat wal-aswat wal-alat al-musiqiyyah." ونحو ذلك ولا شك أن استجلاب هذه المقامات والأوزان إلى كتاب الله تعالى أو إلى الأذان من البدع المحدثة التي يجب تنزيه القرآن عنها Rather, the science of maqamat originated in the arts and musical fields, the fields of arts and music, the fields of arts and music, you know, the arts is right, dancing around, opera and play and the likes like this. This is the field of arts and music. This is where this knowledge was introduced. This is where this knowledge was introduced. Undoubtedly introducing, he said, undoubtedly introducing such musical skills and rhythms into the Book of Allah, or the Adhan, is among the newly invented innovations, bid'ah, and it is an obligation to keep the Qur'an pure from such practices, to purify the Qur'an from such practices. He says, Hafidhullah, Qala Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, Amma ma uhditha ba'dahu min takallufi al-qira'ati ala alhan al-ghina, فهذا ينهى عنه عند جمهور العلماء لأنه بدعة ولأن ذلك فيه تشبيه للقرآن بالغنى ولأن ذلك يورث أن يبقى قلب القارئ مصروفا إلى وزن اللفظ بميزان الغنى لا يتدبره ولا يقيله وأن يبقى المستمعون يصغون إليه لأجل الصوت الملحن من أجل الصوت الملحن كما يصغى إلى الغنى لا لأجل استماع القرآن وفهمه وتدبره والانتفاع به. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said, may Allah have mercy on him, as for what was innovated after the era of the Salaf, of deliberately reciting the Qur'an according to the melodies of songs, music, then this is forbidden according to the majority of scholars, because it is an innovation. It resembles music, and it leads the reciter's heart to become preoccupied with measuring the words according to the rhythm of singing, rather than reflecting and understanding. And the listeners then pay attention to the musical tone, not to the meaning of the Qur'an itself. They listen to it, they listen as if to music, not with the purpose of contemplation, comprehension, and deriving benefit from the Qur'an. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, وَقَالَ تِلْمِيذُهُ ابْنُ قَيِّمٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فِي زَادِ الْمَعَادِ, and his student, Ibn Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on him, he clarified in his work Zad al-Ma'ad fi bayani al-farq bayna at-taghanni wat-tatrib li-mashru' at-tatrib al-mashru' wal-akhar al-muhdath al-madhmum wa faslu an-niza' an yuqal at-tatrib wat-taghanni ala wajhayn ahaduhuma maktabathu at-tabi'atu wa samahat bihi min ghayri takalluf wa la tamrin wa la ta'lim bal idha khulliya وطابعه استرسل طبيعته جاءت بذلك التطريب والتلحين فذلك جائز وإن عانى طبيعته بفضل تزيين وتحسين كما قال أبو موسى الأشعري للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو علمت أنك تسمع لحبرته لك تحبيرا والحزين ومن هاجه الطرب والحب والشوق لا يملك من نفسه دفع التحزين والتطريب في القراءة ولكن النفوس تقبله وتستحريه لموافقته الطبع وعدم التكلف والتصنع فيه فهو مطبوع لا متطبع وكرف لا متكلف فهذا هو الذي كان السلف يفعلونه ويستمعونه وهو التغني الممدوح المحمود وهو الذي يتأثر به التاري والسامع. He said, rahimahullah, the definitive distinction is as follows. The first type, and there's two types, of this recitation here. He said, a natural voice of beautification and melody that flows without effort, training, or contrived performance. And he doesn't train himself, he doesn't learn these tones in the lifestyle, he doesn't learn these musical scales, so on and so forth. He just recites in the beautiful voice that he was given in the manner that he knows, following the principles of a tajweed. Whether it flows from his heart spontaneously. If one enhances their natural voice with artifice, like what Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, any meaning beautifying his voice in the normal manner, like mentioned in the narration of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had I known you were listening, I would have beautified it even more for you. Then such natural emotional recitation with sadness, longing, or joy is not prohibited. Any meaning when of a person, he is reciting verses and his
he's encouraged and has great desire and hope, and you can tell that in his recitation, where he has sadness and fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla and humbleness and reverence for Allah, and you can hear that in his recitation and his speed or in the mode that he's reciting or in the tone of his voice, it's identified his sadness or his joy or the fact that he has high hopes and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then this is not prohibited. It is something that happens naturally. Something that happens naturally, normally. Alhamdulillah. It said the souls naturally accept and find pleasure in it because it aligns with innate nature. It is instinctive, not artificial, and genuine, not forced. This is the praised and commendable form of tartil, measured, beautiful recitation. This is what the Salaf used to do and enjoy and listen to. Any meaning that they would just recite in the natural manner, in the normal way, without trying, without going to extremes, and going overboards in the recitation and the melodies and the tones and the likes like this and trying to affect the people. الوجه الثاني ما كان من ذلك صناعة من الصناعة وليس في طبعي السماحة به بل لا يحصل إلا بتكلف متصنع وتمرن كما يتعلم أصوات الغنى بأنواع الألحان البسيطة والمركبة على إيقاعات مخصوصة وأوزان مقترعة لا تحصل إلا بالتعلم والتكلف فهذه هي التي كرهها السلف وعابوها وذموها ومنعوا القراءة بها وأنكروا على من قرأ بها. The second type is that which is produced artificially. Many people go to extremes and extra efforts to produce these melodies and tones and the likes, like a craft that requires training, studying rhythms, following musical compositions and meters in the style of songs and music. This requires skill and effort to replicate specific musical patterns and beat structures. This is the form that the Salaf disliked, criticized, and prohibited, especially when it became a goal in itself in Quranic recitation, and especially whenever they're reciting the Book of Allah in this manner. He says, Rahimahullah, وَبِهَذَا التَّفْصِيلِ يَزُورُ الْإِجْتِبَاهِ وَتَبَيَّنُ الصَّوَابُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ وَكُلُّ مَنْ لَهُ عِلْمٌ بِأَحْوَالِ السَّلَفِ يَعْلَمُ قَطْعًا أنهم براء من القراءة بألحان الموسيقى المتكلفة التي هي إيقاعات وحركات موزونة معدودة محدودة وأنهم أتقى لله من أن يقرأ بها ويسوغوها. With this distinction, so still the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, with this distinction, the confusion is resolved and the correct path is made clear. Anyone who has knowledge of the ways of the Salaf knows certainly that they were free, innocent, from engaging in musical-laden recitations, those built on counted rhythmic musical motions, and that they feared Allah more. They were more fearing of Allah, had greater reverence of Allah than to ever recite the Quran in such a fashion, in such a manner, or to deem it to be acceptable, or to even deem it to be acceptable. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, حفظه الله وقال الحافظ ابن كثير رحمه الله في تفسيره المطلوب شرعا إنما هو التحسين بالصوت الباعث على تدبر القرآن وتفهمه والخشوع والخضوع والانقياد للطاعة فأما الأصوات بالنغمات المحدثة المركبة على الأوزان والأوضاع الملهية والقانون الموسيقائي فالقرآن ينزه عن هذا ويجل ويعظم أن يسلك في أدائه هذا المذهب. الحافظ ابن كثير, he says in his tafsir رحمه الله, what is legislated is to beautify one's voice with the Quran in a manner that leads to reflection, understanding, humility, and submissiveness, obedience to Allah. As for those voices with invented melodies built upon artificial structures and musical laws, this is a path of distraction, and it's impermissible to apply such an approach to the Qur'an. The Qur'an must be venerated, magnified, revered, and kept far from being recited according to musical measures and rhythms. This is very basic understanding that it's not allowed to apply musical rhythms and tones to the recitation of the Book of Allah. But some people, and even مَنْ لَمْ يَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Whoever Allah doesn't give him light, he will never have light. He will never have light. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, حفظه الله ويدخل في هذا أيضا ما يفعله بعض القراء ومحاكاة قارئ آخر وتقليله لنبرة صوته فهذا مما ذمه السلف أيضا لأنه إنما يحصل بتكلف متصنع وتقليد. He said included, this is now from the statement of Sheikh Abdul Razak, حفظه الله, Included among the practices that are blameworthy is what some reciters do nowadays, imitating the voice and tone of another well-known reciters, of other well-known reciters. This act too was criticized by the Salaf, as it involves artificiality, affectation, and mimicry, any blind following, mimicking these people, mimicking these reciters, and exactly and precisely. If a person he has a teacher, and he learns from his teacher, and then from learning from that teacher, he recites similar to his teacher, this is not blameworthy. This is normal. He learned from a teacher like this, and he recited the way his teacher taught him, in a similar tone he heard from his teacher, this is okay. And likewise, if a person, he listens to a particular reciter, and he learned like this, and he's doing it normally, without making extremes and the likes like this, and he sounds like so-and-so, then inshallah, this is okay. But whenever the problem is, whenever people, they intentionally sound like this person. You'll find him, for example, in Maghrib, he sound like so-and-so. And Aisha, he sound like so-and-so. If you catch him at Fajr, he sound like so-and-so. And one time he imitates this person, and next time he imitates that person. One time he's a man from Medina, next time he's a man from Mecca, and tomorrow he's a man from Egypt, and the likes like this. And now he's somebody who died 5 years ago. And he's playing a game. Every prayer, he's pretending to be somebody else. He's, who are you today, brother? Who are you going to be today, brother? And this is blameworthy. This is blameworthy. As for somebody who learned and he memorized that way, and he recited that way normally, alhamdulillah, even if it's similar like something like that, without making takalluf, so on and so forth. But in any case, the person, he recites the way that he's gifted with, without making extremes to sound like this one or sound like that one, so on and so forth. So again, if a person, he learned from his teacher, and he sounded similar to his teacher because that's how he learned, or if he listened all the time to a particular reciter, and he sounds similar like that because he memorized the Quran by listening to a reciter, so on and so forth, and he's affected by that without going to extremes, trying to sound exactly like an individual any for the sake of sounding like so-and-so, then inshallah, this is not blameworthy. But the person, he will just recite normally. He will learn the rules, and if he has a beautiful voice, he will beautify his voice without trying to mimic anybody specifically or be like this one or learn these laws, these rules of music, so on and so forth. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he continues, Hafidhullah, he says, قال الشيخ أبو بكر أبو زيد رحمه الله في رسالته بدع القراء القديمة والمعاصرة. Shaykh Bakr Abu Zayd, he mentioned, may Allah have mercy on him, in his treatise, the innovations of the reciters in ancient and contemporary, in any past and present. He says, رحمه الله, فإن الناظر لا يرى حرفا واحدا لا يرى حرفا واحدا في تسن الصحابة له فمن بعدهم بمحاكاة حسن الصوت في صوته بالقرآن ولو كان ذلك واقيا لنقله. He says, rahimahullah, he says, anyone who reflects on the traditions will not find, and who reflects on the previous narrations from the Salaf, will not find a single report from the companions or those who came after them that they imitated the tone or voice of a reciter with a beautiful voice. And had this been something practiced or praiseworthy, it surely would have been transmitted. It surely would have been transmitted. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, وَكَلَامُهُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ حَقٌّ فَلَوْ أَنَّ تَقْلِيدَ الْأَسْوَاتِ كَانَ مَشْرُوعًا لَبَادَرَ الصَّحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ إِلَى تَقْلِيدِ أَصْحَابِ الْأَسْوَاتِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّ أَبَا مُوسَى الْأَشْعَرِيَّ لَهُ أَبُو مُوسَى الْأَشْعَرِيَّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أُوتِيَ بِزْمَارًا مِنْ مَزَامِيرِ آلِ دَاوُودَ لِجَمَالِ صَوْتِهِ وَحُسْنِ تِلَاوَتِهِ وَلَمْ يُنْقَلْ أَنَّ أَحَدًا مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ أَوْ التَّابِعِينَ لَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ قَلَّدَهُ فلما عرضوا عن ذلك ما عرف عنه من حرصهم على الخير دل ذلك أن هذا العمل من التكلفات التي حدثت في الأزمنة المتأخرة والله أعلم. And his statement is accurate and valid. If imitating the voices of others had been part of the Sunnah, and the companions رضي الله عنهم, with their eagerness for all good, would have rushed to imitate those with beautiful voices. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself praised Abu Musa al-Ash'ari رضي الله عنه, saying that he'd been given a voice from the voice of the family of Dawood, a flute from the flutes of the family of Dawood, meaning a beautiful voice in recognition of his moving recitation. Yet none of the companions were early generations. Our early righteous generations were reported to have imitated his voice. This absence of imitation, despite their love of good and eagerness for excellence, indicates clearly that such imitation is an artificial practice that only emerged in later times and was not part of the noble character of the early generations, and Allah knows best. وَفِي زَمَانِنَا بَرَزَ أَشْخَاصٌ أُعْرِفُوا بِتَقْلِيدِ أَصْوَاتِ مَشَاهِرِ الْقُرَّاءِ حتى إن بعضهم يقلد عددا ليس بالقليل من القراء لا يخطئ في محاكاة نبرة أصواتهم وطريقة أدائهم، ثم يقال له قلد فلانا وقلد فلانا، ويستمعون إلى تقليده لا إلى القرآن. ربما ضحكوا أو تعجبوا دون أن يقوم في قلوبهم تدبر للقرآن. وما لهذا أنزل كتاب الله وما هذا شأن من يعظم كلام الله تبارك وتعالى. In our time, there are individuals who become well known for their skill in mimicking the voices of famous Quran reciters, to the point that some can imitate dozens of different voices, replicating their tones and performance stylishes with striking precision. People say to them, imitate so-and-so, imitate so-and-so. Oh, now imitate this other one. And the audience listens not to the Quran itself, but to the performance. They may laugh, be amazed, or applaud the accuracy of the imitation, but the spirit of reflection and reverence is absent. This is not why the Quran was revealed, and this is not the behavior of those who truly revere and honor the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. And honor the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the end of the statement and the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. So this is something that the people of knowledge, they discussed in early days until these days. That a person, he will no doubt beautify his voice to the best of his ability with the recitation of the Quran. With the recitation of the Quran without going to extremes, without trying too hard, and definitely without following rules that are found in music and the different arts. The author, he mentioned two narrations here with similar meanings, but they are weak. And we removed those narrations and mentioned this narration in place of that. The narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he's not one of us. Who does not chant the Quran. ليس منا من لم يتغنى بالقرآن. He's not from us. The one who does not يتغنى بالقرآن. يعني chant the Quran, meaning recite it in a beautiful tone. And another narration, meaning raising his voice with it. And he raising his voice with it, reciting it in a beautiful tone. And he again, to the best of his ability, without going to extremes, by following the mode of recitation and the rules of a tajweed. قال محمد بن حسين فأحب لمن يقرأ القرآن يتحزن عند قراءته ويتباكى ويخشى قلبه ويتفكر في الوعد والوعيد ليستجلب بذلك الحزن. ألم تسمع إلى ما نعت الله عز وجل من هو بهذه الصفة وأخبرنا بفضلهم؟ فقال عز وجل الله نزل أحسن الحديث كتابا متشابها مثانية تقشعر منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم ثم ترين جلودهم وقلوبهم إلى ذكر الله الآيات. He says, Muhammad ibn Hussein, he said, I prefer that the one reciting the Quran be sorrowful during his recitation, and he humble, that he tries to weep, that his heart is humble and submissive, and that he reflects upon the warnings and promises within the Quran, so that the sorrow may stir in his heart. Have you not heard how Allah describes those of this character and informs us of their virtue? Whenever he says, Allah has sent down the best of speech, a book consisted in its parts, repeating its verses. The skins of those who fear their Lord shiver from it. Then their skins and their hearts soften at the remembrance of Allah. ثُمَّ ذَمَّ قَوْمًا اسْتَمَعُوا الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمْ تَقْشَعَ لَهُ قُلُوبُهُمْ فَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبُكُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ. And likewise Allah, He rebuked those who hear the Quran but are not moved by it, saying, do you then wonder at the statement and laugh and not weep while you amuse yourselves and preoccupy with entertainment? ثُمَّ يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ أَنْ يُرَتِّلَ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَرَتِّلْ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. It is also befitting that the one who recites the Quran should recite it with tartil, in a measured manner, as Allah knows, and recite the Quran in a slow, measured, rhythmic tones. And the tafsir is explained as make it clear and explain. قِيلَ فِي التَّفْسِيرِ تُبَيِّنُهُ تَبِيِّنًا تُبَيِّنُهُ تَبِيِّنًا. That you recite it in a clear manner. وَرَتِّلْهُ تَرْتِيلًا وَرَتِّلُ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And you recite it clearly in measured tones, and again in a clear voice according to the rules that have been transmitted to us with regards to the mode of recitation. With regards to the mode of recitation and with a beautiful voice to the best of one's ability. He says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ إِذَا رَتَّلَهُ وَبَيَّنَهُ وَانْتَفَعَ بِهِ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُ مِنْهُ وَانْتَفَعَ هُوَ بِذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ قَرَأَهُ كَمَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى
مكث هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم